Dear friends, the scripture for the today's message is taken from the James's letter. We read about wisdom often in the Bible, perhaps most frequently in the book of Proverbs. James writes in chapter 1, "If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously, and it will be given to you." We suspect that this is life wisdom, not just the acquisition of information, and it is only loosely related to being intelligent. James is writing to Christians who live scattered in a world where they are not quite at home, that is, to us. He gives practical advice on how to cope with various difficulties, injustice, and adversities, eventually. Thank you for your patience. James says, in life, you will encounter various challenges, and it is possible that your faith will be shown and proven in them. But if not, if it fails, ask God. He will give you what you need to be people in his image, complete people. God will give you the wisdom of life. And here at the beginning of chapter 3, we read, "Don't all want you to be teachers? It's more demanding." Of course, James is not talking just about teaching positions. He means the wisdom that faith gives you is not manifested by starting to teach everybody. Don't feel that mission is about knowing everything better and having to tell everyone. That is not true wisdom. Earlier in chapter 1, James was saying, you don't enforce the righteousness of God by anger. That means, don't think that you have to keep complaining about the wickedness of the world and be angry and offended by what's going on. Don't think you are going to win anyone over. That's not true wisdom. Instead, quietly listen to the word planted in you. Quietly listen to what God is saying to you. Here in the text we are considering today, James says something similar. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. True wisdom is known by quietly listening to what you have believed. It is manifested in lifestyle. However, something prevents it. The next verse. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful. James is portraying a kind of bitter zeal and rivalry of the pious who think they have to curse everything ungodly, always having to prove to themselves that they are the right ones, that they are right. They are convinced that they need to argue about it and argue loudly. Maybe something similar to what happened to me happened to you also. There are some people who have a habit of saying what they think their listener wants to hear. I have met some of them. When they find out or realize that I am a pastor, they begin to point out the corruption of the world. Children are ill-mannered, young people are rude, people have no respect for Christian values, they are selfish, and so on, you name it. Such a person wants to please you, to win your favor, or at least your approval. And he thinks that this is what I want to hear, that this is how true Christians look at the world, and that it is right to express these reservations. And yet, if you know me, you know that I do perceive what is wrong in the world, but focus more on what is good. I do see good things too. And I even think that they are precious glimpses of the kingdom of God among us. I meet parents who are caring for their children. I meet families on a trip or at the theater. I meet young people who are polite and interested in what's going on around them. I meet people who are selfless and keep and help wherever they are needed. I just recall the solidarity of most people during the recent floods. I really think that every little act of human solidarity, every little kindness, every friendly smile is precious in God's eyes because it belongs to God's kingdom and it does not go unnoticed or forgotten. James writes, "Do you think your bitterness is right? That this is where proper religion lies? No, do not boast of it. That is not wisdom." And James cares about true wisdom. He is trying to explain it to us. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. So, do we live according to what we have received from above and what we are willing to listen to? Or do we go our own way? James says to his listeners, "What you present as godliness has nothing to do with wisdom from above. It's superficial, all too human, animal-like, and stinks of fanaticism. It's demonic." Demons in the Bible always indicate some kind of possession that is definitely not of God. And again, James is not speaking from a position of piety to atheists, to people of the world. He is speaking specifically to the obstinately godly who are convinced that they are right ones, the right ones, and have the right faith. And he repeats to them, "If all you radiate is bitter rivalry, arrogance, and intolerance, it has nothing to do with wisdom from above. It is only zealous talking about God and in God's name instead of really listening to what God says. Next verse. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Look what your zeal is doing. Subversion. Relationships within the congregation and externally are disintegrating. For a tree is known by its fruit. That is what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, and James talks about it in the previous verses. You can't praise God and curse people at the same time. You have to choose what you do. So, what is the wisdom from above? The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. I am not going to explain every word in detail. In other translations, we can read that wisdom is polite, considerate, sincere. I will only share what surprises me. Wisdom from above is willing to yield, which is open to other views, according to other translation, submissive. This is unusual. We would expect that the one who has knowledge from above would know how it is and would convince others of it. He who has the knowledge from above will not be convinced of anything else. James is saying that wisdom from above is not closedness of one's own knowledge. It is knowledge in dialogue. It is the ability to hear what others are saying and how they mean it. The wisdom from above is full of mercy and good fruits, says James. Of course, merciful is God. But man who has wisdom from above behaves mercifully too. Even if people laugh at him. I don't know if you have the same experience sometimes when you say, oh, he is such a nice person. Sometimes you mean it, he is rather stupid. He cannot, he is not assertive enough or something like that. Okay. Man who has wisdom from above behaves mercifully, regardless what people think of him or her. The last verse, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Does it sound strange? Have you noticed? The fruit is usually harvested, not sown. Some translations have changed the Greek text, interpret it, and improve it according to their understanding. If you are righteous, God will reward you for it. This is not what James says. James uses the image of sowing and fruit in an unusual way. We have become accustomed to someone bearing fruit, but he is not actually bearing it. It is sown into him from somewhere else. When we would expect a godly, righteous, and principled person to bear the fruit of righteousness, we learn that the fruit is not born by man, but is sown directly into him by God. perhaps as wisdom from above. I have recalled the verse from Ephesians. We are what he has made us, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Wise, isn't it? The way we live our life praxis may not be the result of our quest for righteousness. Jesus has already taken care of justification. I find this attitude liberating. I don't have to fall into despair when I failed to do the right things. And I don't have to become proud if I succeed. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. James here again alludes to the Sermon on the Mount. The merciful shall obtain mercy, and the peaceful shall obtain peace. God sows his peace into the peaceful. Such is the wisdom from above. Are you wise? Do you know anyone who is this wise? Wise with the wisdom from above that James writes about. We can learn from such people. We look up to them. They are our role models. And do you think they are unachievable role models? I would like to encourage you. If it were an unreachable model, James wouldn't have written about it. After all, he wrote at the beginning of the letter, remember, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all freely and without refusal, and it will be given him. I recently met a person who acted wisely. She told me this story. I visited her, this friend. She is a Christian, kind and dedicated, and knows exactly what people around her should do. She asked about praying for her husband for years and that he wasn't a good enough Christian. He does not go to church regularly. Then she talked about her adult son, with whom she has a nice relationship. But her daughter-in-law is jealous and does not treat her mother-in-law well. She complained to her husband, "She does not like me at all." And he replied, "Love is the only way to win love." This friend of mine had tears in her eyes when she told me. She admitted that their husband had told her exactly what she needed to hear. And I think she is wise. She let herself to be told. God, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you that with his help, we can know what wisdom from above is like. And we ask for it. Amen. before I ask Kamalena for intercessory prayers, I invite you to several free prayers from the audience, if you may.